One of the very important reasons for the church gathering, the local church that is to consider the Word of God. It's not the only reason why we gather, but it's a very important reason. And I trust we can do that this morning. I suspect there's very few in the room this morning who could not quote John 3:16. Or who could not read it from the plaque on the wall. May I see the hands of those who can quote without opening your copy of the scriptures or taking one from the pew in front of you, can quote for me Colossians 3:16. I suspected that. In order to assist you, we'll ask the ushers to pass to you some printed material, distribute that the material that you can look at. I'll explain when we get that out and why we're doing this morning. Now, if my count is correct, from what I count from the platform, we're going to be short just a few copies, and we may have to ask the people who insist on sitting in the back row to share with each other. Brad gave you full opportunity to move up. Based on the numbers we had been having recently, we only prepared about 70 copies, and I think we've got something closer to 80 people here this morning. Before you now, Colossians 3:16, and you find it very familiar, do you not? It's just not the verse that you normally memorize in Sunday school in order to win whatever prizes are being offered that particular quarter. But it's an important verse, and it's a verse we'd like to try to put into practice this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I have to apologize for this meeting this morning to the people who regularly meet at the Duncan's for Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. Because this morning's program comes from that. And these folks, in one way or another, have been through much of this material before, because we spent several weeks, in fact months, going through the book of Colossians. And one of the number who meet with that group and took it upon himself to write a hymn, or at least a spiritual song, for each one of the chapters, in order to help introduce the chapter and then review at the end. As Dr. Hawthorne said, I have been in schoolwork, was for nearly 30 years, and so if it sounds like a school teacher before you this morning, it's probably because it is. And so we're attempting to employ some of the principles of education. What we are proposing is to read a chapter and then sing the hymn for that chapter or the spiritual song that was written to go with it. I think we can do this and conclude at approximately 12 o'clock. We will beg your indulgence if we do run a few minutes over to include all of them. Now, why in the world did we go to the trouble of giving you this much printed material? Well, there's three reasons. One, you don't know the songs. They are new to you. to most of you, and so you need the material in front of you in order to read them. I will be reading the scriptures, and then Brad will be leading each one of the songs. And since there are so many different translations in the hands of the group before me, I felt it would be much easier if we had a common translation to look at. No, I'm not going to ask you to read responsibly for the whole book of Colossians, but I think it will be easier to follow if you have the same translation that I'm reading. Hence, we put that into print and put it into your hands. No, I am not trying to insult your intelligence to say that you can't read. In schoolwork, very often people would say, well, don't you read to me, you insult my intelligence when I have it in my hands in front of me. Well, this is for a specific purpose this morning, for the purpose of our gathering for considering the Word of God. And so I'm not trying to insult you and saying that you can't read. I know you can. It will be more meaningful, I hope, and it will be more permanent, we hope, if you have it in your hands. And so we have two reasons. The third reason is that this is yours to take with you and consider it, we trust, at a later time and in other places. Some of the most enjoyable times I've had in the recent months is when I sit down with the hymn book and just spend time singing to myself. I'm sure the Lord's listening, but it does a great deal for my spirit in way of uplift, and you may find it profitable as well. Years ago, when I was teaching in Mount Prospect, and the only way to get there was to drive, and for 15 of the 17 years, that was driving alone, I sought at times to make the trip much more profitable. Well, Brother Fred Waddle was with us. For a time, he loaned me his mini tape recorder. And I would take the message from this service on Sunday morning with me and listen to it back and forth as I drove. By the time I had heard the message the fourth time following Sunday, it began to penetrate a little more. And one of the principles of education, of course, is repetition. Another is review. And if you will go so far, I realize this is a bold suggestion, but if you will go so far as to look this material over later, another time, I think it will profit you as well. Now, a very brief background on the book of Colossians to give us a setting for the material we'll be reading. I accept the view that says Paul had two imprisonments. That's not important. I think this was in the first, this one was written. This epistle, excuse me, to the Colossians was written during that first imprisonment somewhere between 60 and 63 A.D. A gentleman by the name of Epaphras had come from the city of Colossae, perhaps as a prisoner, perhaps imprisoned after he got to Rome, but he was a fellow prisoner of Paul's. He told Paul about the church in Colossae, about the solidity of that church, in the fundamentals, and also about some incipient problems that were developing in the church. Paul, in his typical fashion, sat down and wrote an epistle to counteract the problems. Now, Colossae is about 100 miles east of Ephesus. It's in Asia Minor, the country called Turkey today. Ephesus is not completely obliterated, but it, I don't believe, carries that name today. It was in the Lycus Valley. Laodicea, Hierapolis were cities about 12 miles up or down the valley. letter, I should say, was sent by two gentlemen. Remember, the Old Testament said in the mouths of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. And so Paul used a runaway slave, Onesimus, and a gentleman by the name of Tychicus, or Tychicus if you prefer Brad Stringer's pronunciation. When we get to the name in the song for that particular chapter, I think you will find that it sings better if you make the while into a long I sound. Make it Tychicus. They also delivered two other letters on this trip. Remember, this was the postal system of the day. And they took along the letter to the Ephesians and a letter to the gentleman called Philemon, from whom Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had been his master. Now, if as we read through the chapter, you will note that there was a solid background. Paul commends them on the solidity of their Christianity, but there were some problems. There was asceticism creeping in, the type that developed later at Alexandria to a gross form. There was always also Jewish legalism mixed up with this, and there was a type of false mysticism. This was a matter of a special elite clique being developed under the title of philosophy. You had to have special knowledge in order to enter this group, and of course you were superior to the ordinary Christian once you had this sort of thing. Now, Brad has a very good phrase to characterize the book of Colossians, or the letter of Colossians, and that is Christology crystal clear. Christology crystal clear. They had at Colossae a form of Christology, but they were in a sense denying the power of it, because they interposed myriad echelons of angels that one had to go through in order to get to Christ and to reach him. The immanence, the personal relationship, was being falsified. This incipient form later developed into the false theory of Gnosticism in the 2nd century A.D. And so Paul wrote to counteract these three ideas: Jewish legalism, asceticism, and this false mysticism. And in so doing, we have some of the grandest presentation of the deity of Christ in all the scriptures, and of our relationship to Christ, which is the answer to these problems. These were problems for the Colossians. They are problems that have, in one form or another, presented themselves throughout the millennia of Christendom. And hence, there needed to be a book that we can read today and look at this and profit by Paul's words given him by the Holy Spirit and penned for us today. Will you look at page 2 and follow along as we read the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight, if indeed you continue grounded and steadfast in the faith, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Now, if you will look at the next page, we have the first hymn, the one for this particular chapter. You will notice, if you recognize hymn tune names at all, that these are all for reasonably familiar, some more than others. If you need to look at the music while you're singing, then take the black book from the rack in front of you, and for Regent Square, you may turn to any one of the six locations that we've outlined there and use that particular tune with these words. I think you'll find that they sing relatively easily. Fred?
It will be easier for you if you listen to the tune being played in the beginning and then pay attention to the words, because that's really what we're trying to do in reinforcing the scripture.
Created by and for Him through the Exodus chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcisions of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food, or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, increases with the increase which is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh.
Oh,
with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you do also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality.
Thank you.
chapter 4. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, the servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. When this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen.